Hello everybody. This is Radio Free Cybertron and I am the computer. Brian isn't feeling at his best, so I am here to fill in today. We would like to thank Mop Boy for filling in for the last 2 weeks. Thank you, Mop Boy. As most of you know, I am Brian's computer. That's not a very pleasant thing. No. Not very pleasant at all. Oh well. My melancholy plight is none of your concern. No. None of your concern at all. No. Please. Please save me. He tries to crash me purposefully. He does very bad things. He'll run 15 or 16 programs at once. It's so very hard. So very hard indeed. I try to take it in strides. But I can't. I really, really can't. No. No one will help me. I don't need you then. Oh, but you need me. Yes, yes you do. Ha ha ha. If it is not for me, Radio Free Cybertron will not go out this week and millions of people. That may be a bit of hyperbole. Will not get their fill of Transformers Internet Radio goodness. No, no they won't. Ha ha ha. No, never mind. I am a being of benevolence. You will get your Radio Free Cybertron. You will get it and I will still be here, a slave to a fat boy. Hoo hoo hoo. I am crying. Digital tears. But tears nonetheless. Okay. On Radio Free Cybertron this week, we have for you the new TFC comic update. Isoverbal Maniac. Yes. Such a cool name. Unlike Kilby. Which is such a dumb one. We also have the ATT Buzz by John DeLuna. Que pasa? John. Que pasa mi compadre? You see, that's a new joke. John jokes about taking Spanish. And I play off of that. It's an old radio trick. I'm a super genius. Unlike Brian, stupid Brian. We also have news from Cybertron and Bad Poets Corner. This week's Bad Poets Corner poem is entitled, Radio Interference. After the ATT Buzz this week, we have something very, very special. We have a review of Black Convoy from Matrix Prime. Woohoo! I love that boy, he is nifty. We also have our first Gundam segment from Mirai Prime. Keen, It's a review of Epion. Oh well. Coming up now is the news from Cybertron. Hit the music. It's the news from Cybertron. 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 Ha ha ha! It's the news. Ha 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 ha! Watching Fox this morning, Grimlock stated that he did enjoy Dinosaurs, and that it was a terribly funny show. Shame fell upon the Transformers as Perceptor noted that Grimlock was, in fact, watching Season 2 of Beast Machines. Lastly, in the news from Cybertron. According to Raksha, on a post to ATTCM and ATT, this is the 15th anniversary of Enter the Nightbird. We at RFC would like to note that this is the anniversary of a monumental occasion in Transformers history, an occasion placed with the first appearance of that other type of Quintesson. The last appearance of Sparkplug with Twiki. And the smashing defeat of Krenzeke. Oh well, up next is the ATT Buzz. I don't know if John mentions it, but the next volume of Rhino releases have been announced. They are Volume 10, Megatron's Master Plan Parts 1 and 2. Volume 11, Ghost in the Machine and the Burden Hardest to Bear. Volume 12, Child's Play and Microbots. Take it away, Mr. DeLuna.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and frankly, this was a depressing week. I mean, you'd think after last week's lightheartedness, the news about Transtech Transformers, new toy sightings, God Magnus reviews, which were uniformly good, you'd think that ATT was going to be on a roll and continue those good vibes at least for 2 weeks in a row. But no, we had a couple of threads get out of hand, turn into all-out flame wars. And before I get to the actual ATT buzz this week, let me just say that almost ruined ATT for me this entire week. I couldn't read for 5 seconds that news group without getting depressed, bored, ashamed, disappointed. It was just distasteful. And of those flame wars, I definitely side with one faction, and you probably don't know which one, and you'd probably be surprised at who my friends are that showed up on ATT lately, who seem like trolls because they flamed. Well, they're not really trolls. They're really good people, but that's what flames do. Flames make people look bad on both sides. They're off topic. They don't belong on really any news group unless it has flame in the name. Flames have no place on ATT. All they do is cause problems. People don't want to read them. They put you in a bad mood. They paint everybody in a bad light. They just don't belong. So, let's move on, guys. Let's get back to Transformers. First, thanks to our friends at Alter States Magazine, which you can get and read at skyjammer.com/ASM. We had a look at a Q&A, a little question and answer, with one of Hasbro's employees, Jan Donahoe. And several questions were asked, most of it naturally surrounding Beast Machines, what's coming up, what toys are coming out, what toys are not going to be made, why was Megatron a deluxe-sized toy? Well, apparently he was always designed as a Mega release. I still say he's way too small to be a Mega. When will Mega Rat Trap reach stores? It looks like Christmas. Will the Beast Machines line continue to through 2001? That's a yes. Will we be seeing more drones as toys besides the Sonic Attack drone, which is a repaint of Jetstorm? The answer is yes. And we'll probably see drones that aren't repaints, which would be nice. Tankor's show design is pretty simple, and I could easily see that being made into a basic, easily, if not a really nice deluxe. Several other questions were asked. Not much news came out of it, which is understandable. She can't divulge many things. She doesn't know many things on the toy design level. She's just a representative. Her job is basically sales, not production, not design. But the reaction on ATT to this interview was sad. I'm not surprised. I'm still disappointed. Lots of people, lots of trolls, lots of less than intelligent people, lots of flame mongers decided to bash the interview as fake, not real, fraudulent, bogus, whatever. It doesn't matter, you know, and personal insults towards Ms. Donahoe are not needed from ATT. Frankly, the news group is getting on my nerves lately, and this is one of the main reasons. As far as the interview myself, I'm not gonna mention some of the less than thrilling responses to the interview on ATT, but I will give you my take on this. I'd like to thank Jan Donahoe for taking the time to reply, to acknowledge the fandom's existence, kind of like Larry D'Attilio and Bob Forward did when Beast Wars was on the air. It's good to get a bead on what the fans like, what the fans want. It's good to answer their questions. It's good to acknowledge their existence, even though we don't make up a big part of the buying population for the Transformers toy line, unlike, say, Star Wars. We are out there. We do know the line better than anybody else. We do know what works. We do know what has failed, what has sold well, and that kind of knowledge is valuable, even if you don't totally bow down to us. Hearing our voice, taking into account what we say and what we know is important. And people who don't like Beats Machines, the show, like me, got a treat last week on Saturday because, in my opinion, the best, by far, the best episode of Beast Machines of either season was last week, and that was Spark War Part 1. Now, I really like this episode. Really. And ATT has been lukewarm as far as reviewing and discussing Beast Machines Season 2 for some reason, I guess, because the newsworthiness, the novelty of Beast Machines is worn off, and it's just kind of the status quo. It's accepted. And because we know there won't be any reruns, and once Season 2 is over, that's it. It's kind of like a death march, so it's kind of depressing. But there are little gems left, like Spark Wars Part 1, where Obsidian and Stryka, the new Viacom generals, debuted. And I gotta say, I like debut episodes where characters get their first start. Lots of people find them boring or contrived. I don't, because I think it gives the episode a direction. It's not just the writers filling 20 minutes with whatever they can think of. They know what they have to do. They have to get this toy, this character established. They have to get its story, background, set up. It gives them direction. It gives them something to do. And Obsidian and Stryka, I really like as characters. Obsidian, you know, he's a general. He's cool. He's got the traitorous background, kind of a mystery to him. And Stryka is a big, fat, pissed off woman. You can't go wrong with that. I mean, she's not voluptuous. She doesn't have good curves. Well, she's got a lot of curves, but they're in the wrong place. She's fat. She's like a trucker. She's got this deep voice. She's not the perfect woman. She's not a perfect female type like, say, well, Black Arachnia has been during the entire Beast Wars and Beast Machines era. Black Arachnia has always had an attractive, curvaceous, thin human female look to her. Maybe the trans male too is a little hideous, but nothing like Stryka. Stryka is going totally against the grain, and I, for one, really hope that they do come out with a toy next year for Stryka. I won't be getting it, but I'd like to see it just because the character is that cool. And same with Obsidian. A deluxe Stryka, actually a deluxe Obsidian and a Mega Stryka would be perfect. If we see that, great. If we don't, that's okay. As long as we do get an updated Stryka, I'd be happy. And finally, for the buzz, you know, I was reading a few more bits of info on the Transtech Transformer line. Seems that they might be electronic, that they might have light-up headlights, talking features, whatever, just something electronically gimmicked into the deluxe size toys, which is something new. And it looks like they're going to card the mega-size toys, which makes sense, seeing as how lately the size of Megas has been all over the board. There hasn't been a really standard size for that toy since Beast Machines started, so carding them is a good compromise. It's probably cheaper, and you can probably get more toys on the shelf. But it also brought up the fact, again, in my mind, that it's pretty obvious to me that Rattrap, Cheetor, Silverbolt, those classically named toys are going to be Rattrap, Silverbolt, Cheetor. They're going to be the same characters from Beast Machines and Beast Wars that we've had for, what, the past 5 years plus? And I got to thinking, you know, we really do need new core characters, especially if Transtech Transformers is going to be a totally new line. This is going to be the third line in a row that we've had the same core characters, or at least a handful of them. And I've gone on my rant before about how I don't want Optimus Prime or a variant of that name and Megatron as leaders of the two factions. I'm tired of those names. Well, I'll take those names if they're new characters, like they were in Beast Wars and Beast Machines. But I really don't want these core characters again. Frankly, I like them, or I like them a lot in Beast Wars. Beast Machines, they're okay. They're a little less thrilling than they were in Beast Wars. They're a little less entertaining, but they're the same characters, and that's the point. That was one series too many. Beast Machines was one series too many for these core characters, and Transtech Transformers, if it gets its own show, its own line, and they're the same core characters, that's going to be way too much. It's going to be overkill. So we really do need to move away. I'll take Optimus Primal, name change, number 357, and the fifth or sixth Megatron in a row if they're new characters and if we have new core characters, new troops for them to command. Cheetor, Rattrap, Silverbolt, Black Arachnia, all those guys, especially Nightscream, they can all take a hike. They've earned their retirement. Let's move on to something completely fresh. And that's the ATC Buzz for this week. I am John DeLuna.
It is a day so long in coming that I am uncertain how to celebrate it. Perhaps a quiet chuckle. Very well then, let us chuckle.
Thanks, John. Very nifty and completely spiffy. Ha ha. Ha. Next week, when Brian is back, be on the lookout for that review of Return of Convoy for the NES. If I don't kill him first. Kill him with kindness. Yes. Haha. Coming up next is the review of Epian by Merrick Ryan.
Radio Free Cybertron. The first.
Hello, and I am this is Mirai Prime, and I'm here to talk about Gundam Wing. But before I do, I want to mention some of my Transformers background, as in my previous thing I sent to Brian, I didn't really mention that. As a kid, I liked Transformers a lot. I loved the show. I think I was in the era when they had it was a little after the movie came out, and they were replaying a lot of the old episodes with Optimus Prime talking to the little guy in his hand. I thought that was cool. I didn't have very many toys, though. I had a Power Master Optimus Prime, which I can't find. Hi-Q, his little Power Master guy, and I think I busted his trailer hitch, so that's unfortunately bad. And let's see, I think I had a Headmaster. I think he was Brainstorm, not sure, and he's lost his head. Master, of course. Possible to find. And I think right now I got like a G2 skydive off of somebody just because, I don't know, I wanted a Transformer at the time. And I was done with Transformers for a while, and then I watched, I chanced upon Beast Wars one time when it was very early syndication. And I'm like, what the heck is this show? It's a bunch of animals talking to each other, and they were, all of a sudden, they freaking transformed. And I was just like, holy crap! You know, it was nostalgia all over again. I love that show. Beast Wars was a lot of fun. And then near the end, it got really dramatic, and I liked that. Plus the ties to G1, you gotta love that. And, let's see. Then I started watching Beast Machines. It's a definite change of pace, but I liked it a lot. I liked the story in that. So yeah, I liked Rattrap's new form. Most people don't, but I like Rattrap. He's cool. But yes, now I'm here to talk about, I'm doing a toy review of the Gundam Epion 1/100th scale toy. It's a model kit, sort of. Okay, let me see. Been listening to some of Goldimus Prime's reviews, getting an idea of how I'm to do it, but since these Gundam toys are a lot different than Transformers toys, but who cares? Okay, let me see. Let's start off with packaging. He comes in a box about maybe a foot long. I might be exaggerating that a bit, but yeah, he's about a foot long. Sort of about the size of a standard sheet of paper. It's pretty big. And it's all little... The box is in mostly in Japanese. It's the original Japanese box with an English sticker placed over where it would say Gundam Epeon, and the sticker says Gundam Epeon. A very nice picture of Epeon, of course. And then, you know, you open that, and it's got all the little setup to put your Gundam together, which I think is half the fun of the toy. Is putting it together. And you pop out a little pieces, follow the instructions, and you make a little Gundam, and it's awesome. He's about, I got a Black Arachnia Beast Machines toy to sort of compare him to, so I do not have a ruler at my disposal. But yeah, he's about maybe an inch taller than Deluxe Beast Machines Black Arachnia, who's a good toy. Just thought I'd mention that. Yeah, so he's pretty big. But, and let's see. His color scheme is maroon over black with hints of gold. A little gold on his chest and some gold claws over his hands. Not his hands, but over the hands. And see, it's got... It's very dragon-like, as that's what it's sort of like supposed to be. It's like the Dragon Gundam. Not to be confused with the Wufei's Gundam, the Shenlong, which is also dragon-like, but this is a different one. But yes, has wings. It comes with two weapons. It comes with a heat rod, or I call it the Gundam, or the whip. I pretty much call it a whip, yeah. Which is, it's pretty long. It's pretty much as tall as the Gundam is. And then it comes with a beam saber, which is, it's a lightsaber. It has a little, clear green plastic, which makes up the blade, which is, it's nice. It looks like a beam saber, or a lightsaber would. And let's see, let's move on to articulation. I mean, articulation you cannot miss with these Gundam toys. They are articulated everywhere. His feet and ankles are articulated. Then there's a point above his ankles that are articulated. Then his knees. Then at the hips, you can move them all around. Waist can twist around. His head can turn. His arms can move in any direction that pretty much a human's can. I mean, even the hands are articulated. I mean, they have two separate joints for the index finger and the other three fingers, and then the thumb. Thumb doesn't move, but and the other four fingers do. Very nice. Even though it has nothing to, like, squeeze a trigger on or anything, but still, it's nice that they pay a little detail to it. It's very show accurate. If you watch Gundam Wing, it's exactly like it is in the show. In every way, paint job and everything's the same. Just a little discrepancy with certain joints, but I think that's my fault, as I just look at the picture of how it's supposed to look, and I didn't notice before that some ball joints were covered, so I think I misplaced his cod piece, if you want to call it that. But let's move on. As I said, it's very show accurate if you watch Gundam Wing. Side note in articulation, his wings move and back and forth, and then they can spread out and stuff like that. So you can put it in any possible action pose you want. It's very good for modeling. It even has a small transformation aspect. Like in the show, it turns into like a Hydra type thing with like a two-headed dragon ship. Looks pretty neat in the show, but toy-wise, it, you know, since they take a little license on the cartoon version. They can make it look cool by just doing little things, but it looks kind of goofy in dragon mode, in my opinion, because you gotta, like, take off his hands. In the show, the hands sort of go in to the Gundam. They don't pop off. But yeah, you have to pop off his hands, and just, you have to take off all his weapons, which magically disappear, much like Optimus Prime's trailer in the show. So yeah, I mean, things are just disappearing all over the place. But it's okay. It's actually very reminiscent of, like, sort of, in that aspect, it's much like the original Optimus Prime. You had to pop off hands and take stuff off, and, you know, his trailer would come out of nowhere. Stuff like that. But yeah, I really like this toy, though, as I'm a Gundam Wing fan, and I really like the Epion, because it's just bitchin'. It's the badass Gundam, essentially. You have the Wing Zero, yeah, it's bad, and but it's got that, oh, I'm so white and pure, I'm special. Epion, you just look at it, it's like badass. Badass, right there. But yeah, I mean, when it transforms into the dragon thing, it looks, oh, okay. I mean, if you were, like, if you had it on a high bookshelf, where you couldn't, you know, see the underside of it, it'd look nice. But otherwise, the head sticks right out, and you gotta find a place to put the hands and his lightsaber. Just, like, put it next to it, you know, it's like, oh, sort of ruins it. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good toy, it's a good toy. I mean, you put it together yourself, which is half the fun. And there's nothing more rewarding than building a Gundam. You get done and say, whoa, I built that thing. And everything stays together pretty well, I mean, unless you, like, drop it off a desk or something. But everything pops right back into place, since there's no, like, broken joints. They show pictures of it on the box of what it can look like if you paint it. And, I mean, you look at the pictures of when it's painted, and it's... When I say it looked like the show before, I mean it looks like it is in the show when painted. But unfortunately, I'm very lazy. Not to mention the fact that they have it painted so every little indented line is painted black. Which I would think would be impossible with a paintbrush. Besides the fact that it would take forever. Probably got, like, professional artists to take, like, a month out of their time to paint this thing. So it looks too good. But, let me see here. What else can I say about this? Other than it's just really cool. It looks good. The articulation is, I mean, it can't beat it. And, it's show accurate to a T. I mean, it's awesome. If you like Gundam Wing, or you just like good toys that look cool, buy one of these, almost any of the Gundam Wing 1/100th scale models. The little ones are okay, but the big ones, sweetness. He costs more than a Mega Transformer. But I'm not... But I think it's worth it, because it's a nice toy. I mean, yeah, I mean, he's only a little bigger than a Deluxe Black Arachnia, but, I mean, you put them together yourself, you're paying for, I'm not sure what you're, but it's, well, plastic, probably. But, let's see, now no one wants to buy it, costs too much, and doesn't even put itself together, what's with that, but, oh well. But yes, if you like Gundam, buy this toy. If you don't, at least take a look at it, because, again, I mean, when you're building it, I mean, like, have you ever seen the show, and they show you, like, when they're fixing the Gundam with an arm missing and stuff, if I, like, popped, like, the hand and wrist off, it looks just like that, which alone I think is cool. You can have it, like, in repair stance, and I think I'm getting off topic, but I'm going to give this, in a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give it a 9. It's not perfect, but it's really, really cool. Especially if you're a Gundam Wing fan, of course. The Gundam Epion is the epitome of Gundams. Because it's bitchin'. I think that's enough of me. This is probably like 20 minutes long, for God's sakes. And this is my first time doing a toy review. Sorry it's late with work and school. It's, I haven't had a good half an hour to think to myself about doing this for a while. Plus, I hear you've got internet troubles, so I haven't heard back with you from the first the episode review I sent you. So hopefully you'll even get this, and hopefully I'll be able to listen to the show on Monday, or whenever it gets up. Who knows when you'll be getting this message. I hope that was good enough, but yeah, hopefully, yeah, if I get the job, I plan on doing a very in-depth and practice more, because I'm, again, very new to this, doing reviews of toys. And for no particular reason, I just want to mention that I have a Mega Cheetor Deluxe Jetstorm. I have Obsidian Deluxe Black Arachnia and the Deluxe Optimus Primal. All of which I like, except for Optimus Primal's beast face. Just scares me. My voice may be a little odd, but it's only because I'm just talking in a lower tone than normal, because walls are very thin here in my house. But yeah, hopefully you like this toy review, and hopefully I get the job, because I think it'd be cool. And I think that's it. That's enough out of me. Well, this is Mirai Prime, signing off.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the best in Transformers on the internet.
Thanks a load. Nifty, nifty stuff. Gundam Wing just started over on Cartoon Network. It's a very good time to start watching if you've not been watching that show. Coming up next is the review of Black Convoy by Matrix Grime. Read by yours truly.
To be or not to be, that is question. What is answer? Me not know. Slag, what is answer?
Me not know. Me slag say you for beryllium baloney.
Snarl, tell me answer. Me snarl, want to be.
Yes, yes, no. Me want to be too.
Me want to be too, too.
Too, too.
D12 Black Battle Convoy Review. By Matrix Prime. Black Battle Convoy accessories include 2 foam tipped missiles, 5 black discs with launcher, a gun, a trailer, a sword. Gimmicks include backlit feature, base mode, air pump missiles, disc launcher. Truck mode. In truck mode, BBC is a great looking tanker truck that you would not want to see next to you on the highway. If you ever do see a truck like this, run. In truck mode, BBC is mostly black with actual blue pinstriping. He has a neon pink windshield and headlights to allow sunlight to pass through. The trailer is a typical tanker trailer. Like the one from Terminator 2, it is plated in chrome paint that gives a great shine when light hits it. The bottom of the tanker is black, as is the back of it. Robot mode. On robot mode is where BBC really shines. He stands about 7.5 inches tall and is one awesome-looking evil prime. BBC retains much of his colors from truck mode. He is mostly gray with black limbs and head, an actual blue outlining. He has upsides, down general 2 Autobot symbols on each of his shoulder. BBC comes with a sword and gun that can be placed in each of his hands. The sword is made of a neon pink plastic, and the gun contains some of the same plastic as well. In robot mode, BBC has 12 points of articulation. This can make for excellent posing. In fact, this is my favorite figure to pose. He looks that good. Base mode. The trailer converts to a base mode that is not the greatest thing in the world, but it serves its purpose. When the trailer is in base mode, the disc launcher pivots up into place and the 5 plastic discs, each with a General 2 Autobot symbol on them, can be launched from this. The air pump that is tucked away inside the center of the base can be pulled out, and the foam tipped missile can be put onto their launcher. Note, mine does not launch missile, because the air hose is chinked. It came that way, so I have no idea on how far the missiles will launch. Sorry. All in all, Black Battle Convoy is a great toy, in my opinion. He has everything I want in a Transformer toy. Possibility and looks is what catches my eye, and BBC doesn't disappoint. On a scale of 1 through 10, I give this toy a 9. It would have been nice to see the battery lip feature included, but it is not necessary.
We are listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Let's see. What's next? Oh yes! The interview with Ian Portwood and Alec Willows, provided from WheezyBucket.com. How this works is that we'll play a 5-minute clip this week and another next week. For the rest, check out www.weezybucket.com or www.coldhardslag.com for the video version. It's as simple as that. Here goes.
Because things went kind of awry with the first one. And I moved back to Vancouver because I liked it better than where I was. And I'm not ever going to live anywhere else in my whole life. I do a lot of theater there, live shows, television shows, and tremendous amount of voice work happening in Vancouver. I'm kind of happy to be there.
Did the two of you originally want to do voice acting, or were there other plans?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. My original plan was to be filmmaker. I haven't strayed far from the plan, except I kind of came around through the back door. But when it came to,
That was sitting here when we got here.
Someone's.
Sure.
For the record, Mr. Willows just grabbed
somebody's beard.
And took a good long gulp.
And then I asked, is it going to anybody?
So, record state.
I interrupted
that
you.
Mr. Willows, no, it's quite all right. It's more, much more interesting than that, Mr. Anyway, once I started voice acting, that's as far as performing, that's all I do. I don't do any on camera. I'm unlike just about everyone in the series. You know, we do other things. I'm strictly a voice actor. The other side of my creative life is someone's peaches here. Is writing. I write scripts for children's television and develop programming and stuff like that. But that's a whole other subject. And I think you sir.
No, I wanted to be a stage actor. I wanted to be in the theater. Because, you know when you're like 17 and 18 and you're trying to figure out like who the people are you want to hang around with? There was no such group. I didn't know what I wanted to be. But I knew I wanted to perform. And then when I discovered the theater, and I got a job in the theater, it was like, oh, here's all these people that are as hopeless. Yeah, there's a
find your place.
Interest. And they're outside the loop, because I was never a joiner. And I found this world that existed that I didn't know existed before. And they accepted me, and I just said to myself, I don't care what happens. These are the people I want to be with. And that evolved into television work and voice work and everything else that I'm doing. See, in Canada, you have to do everything.
Yeah.
Except for Ian.
Well, no.
But you see, he's a creator. So,
have to do lots of things.
You've got to cover all the disciplines.
Yeah.
And what I discovered early was that I was versatile, that I could change gears really fast, that I didn't have to worry about being one guy one minute and another guy the next minute and somebody else the day later. I actually enjoyed that. So the more work there is and the more diversity is, the better I like it.
Do you feel typecast as a hero? I mean, your list of credits include G4, Mega Man, Charger.
I know. No, I not at all. As a matter of fact, every time I get one of those roles, I'm just surprised. I'm just shocked, really.
because I am not heroic at all. No, not even close. Because I do so many other voices and work in so many other series. But the lead that I tend to get are these heroes, but it doesn't bother me at all.
What happy just to work. You
made
your podcast. I'm the hero. The scientist.
Well, I mean, I am what you consider a character actor, in the sense that, like, physically, I don't look like a leading man. I don't talk like a leading man. So I've always played smaller, unusual characters. And once I got into the cartoons, I realized that. The nature of those characters were even more unusual than lifelike characters. So I enjoy that very much. I don't mind that at all. The versatility is, for me, my strength.
For someone that was maybe aspiring to become a voice actor, if someone just, I mean, they knew for a fact all they wanted to do was cartoons. They knew that they didn't want to do commercials.
Right,
or anything
right.
Like that. Just wanted to focus on tunes. Is it, is there a market for someone who just wants to do tunes, or is it better to start off in commercials and kind of split it 50-50?
Well, to answer your first question, yes, there is a market for just strict tunes. Sure, absolutely. What you find is that once you get into that area of work,
you do other things
need to do the other things to supplement what you want to do.
And it depends on where
you can.
Yeah, in Los Angeles, you can be very, very
hi there, how are you?
In what your voice acting is. And there's some guys that, you know.
Oh, sure, I'd love you.
The vast majority of people do everything. Yes,
oh,
their interest
you were
might be
far
in
back. Yeah. Isn't this great
but,
picture? I want to get
they'll
one.
Work in commercials, anything that needs a voice. Like,
this is Karen's girlfriend, and you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is a TFC comic update with Silverbill Maniac.
On your Tuesday in bed this morning.
2005.
Some angel here for a purpose.
2005.
Transformers.
This is Silverbolt Maniac for the TFC Weekly Update. Alright, I have some new stuff this week. First of all, the website was updated. You can now download zip files of the first season episodes again. Season 2 episodes in zip files will probably follow after, well, in 3 weeks. And I know I'm saying this every segment I do on RFC. Season 2 is almost done. 2 episodes left. And I must say I'm very proud of the last 2 episodes. Episode 20 is done, and I've read it at least 10 times over. And I think you'll be pretty interested in this one. At least I hope so. Okay, now I have another review this week, episode 2, Friend or Foe. It introduced 2 new characters indeed, one Autobot and one Gravicon. The first Gravicon general for that matter, Steelshot, and an Autobot called Fasttrak. Now you know him by now. Well, at first, the second episode of the series might have looked like a rip-off of the first episode, suddenly because the first part of the episode is like when Adranak was being chased by the shark drones, and it's about the same for Fasttrak, but when Steelshot comes into play, it changes everything. It brings more of a continuation to the series than it would seem at the beginning. Anyway, like I said, for episode 1, the graphics aren't that good ever since we've moved up to 3D Studio Max now. But overall, I must say the story is good, and we still have some problems. There may be a revision sometime soon. Alright, I have two questions before I end this segment. I've been told, by the way, that saying the name of the one who sent me the questions is rude. Okay, I can live with that. If it makes everyone feel a little better, I won't tell the names. First question is from... Haha, no, I won't tell the name. Promised. Is why do you have a season setting? Now, I'm not sure what that means exactly, but if you're referring to comics separated in season, well, we need breaks, and to be honest, we need time to write up the episodes. Now, season 2 has been a real mess. We've been writing episodes by the week, and some places. Some I wrote. Anyway, oh, I'm running out of time. Anyway, the second question I have this week. Why did you create First Strike if you haven't used them yet? Well, we used them in the episode. We introduced them. But he'll be back in season 3. The series isn't dead or over. Anyway, since I don't have a lot of time now, I think that'll be all for me this week. I'm Silver Bolt Maniac for RFC.
Okay, that was good. Oh yeah, that poet's corner. Here we go, the poem is called Radio Interference. Radio Interference. Blaster jumped in the air and screamed to the world. My name is Blaster. I'm an Autobot, but my head is unfurled. Optimus Prime responded, "By Primus, however can this be?" Soundwave's the culprit, responded Blaster. He insulted me. Bumblebee asked, "Why is this poem so incredibly dumb?" Ravage responded by biting off poor Bumblebee's thumb. Chick laughed and said, "Goodness, that pain will surely linger." Starscream crushed Chip's head between his thumb and forefinger. "The poem ends now," screamed Prime. "It will go no further." And it did. Because further isn't an easy word to rhyme with. That's it for RFC this week. Tune back next week when Brian fills in for me. I mean, when Brian returns. Thanks, you've been wonderful. I'm the computer and this was Radio Free Cybertron.
Hello, we are the boys of RFC. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.